the reason people are feeling quite flu-like and a little bit unwell, perhaps if they've had COVID and then have the vaccine on top of that, is because they are then having a response towards the vaccine itself, and also a response that is learned from their exposure to the actual natural virus. So it's actually their immune system working exceptionally well. So although it's uncomfortable, it's actually it's not a bad thing, because what we're seeing is the patient responding to the organism and also to the vaccine. So hopefully their immunity will be even stronger.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I remember there was something in the press a few months ago about, you know, the antibody levels dropping, and there was query about how effective the memory T cells are. So this reaction they're having now pretty well sort of confirms that maybe there is quite a good strong T cell memory incited by the virus.
It could potentially mean that. I think it's a bit soon for us to say it definitely means that, but I think it could mean that. I think one of the things we've seen with COVID infections throughout the pandemic is how it affects people differently. Now, there is this base level of disease that people get when they get COVID-19, but I don't think it's news to anyone that some people get a relatively mild disease. In fact, that's most people, and some people get a much more severe response. So what we're going to see with the immune response in our patients is a similar sort of response. Some people are going to respond and have quite a mild reaction, and some people are going to respond more strongly and feel a bit feverish for 24 hours. And that's all normal. That's all the immune system doing what it's supposed to do. So whether or not it's the antibody response bursting up and burgeoning forward as it should do, or whether it's the T cell response moving up and actioning as we'd like it to do, or whether it's a combination of the both, is something that we'll learn as we go forward. But none of these things alarm me. They all reassure me, because it means that the patient's mounting a good response. And whether or not that response is very long lasting, or whether it means we will move into a situation, which I suspect we will, where every year or two we will perhaps have another booster vaccine in the same way or a similar manner to the way that we have a new flu vaccine every year, that may well be what we get. And indeed, Jonathan Van Tam, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, said that he doesn't see a situation where we're going to completely eradicate coronavirus or the SARS-CoV-2 that causes this, but it's going to be something we learn to manage with the vaccine. I think he's absolutely right. And I think I suspect what we'll see over the coming years is our annual, or maybe every 2 years, have a vaccine that covers the latest iteration of the coronavirus, to make sure we're in control of it. The reason we're having this problem now is because the population, the world, is effectively what we would term as immunologically naive. We haven't seen this organism before, and because we haven't seen this organism before, there's no natural herd immunity. That will build up over time, so the virus will have less and less places to go, and we'll see less and less disease. I don't think we'll ever see none, but we'll see less and less as we go forward, and that'll be much more manageable and safer for the patients and the health service.
Brilliant. And do you think that this sort of reaction they had, this is it, the Pfizer jab is very, very different from the AstraZeneca jab. It's a very new sort of form of jab. It's an RNA vaccine, which I understand is almost, when it's injected into us, it's actually telling our bodies to make a bit of the COVID spike protein. I might be wrong. And whereas the AstraZeneca jab is a much more sort of, dare I say, bog standard way of producing a vaccine that we've done for other vaccines, flu, maybe typhoid, all the other vaccines that produce, where we take a subsection of the whole virus and enclose it in another virus and introduce it into the body. Do you think the Pfizer vaccine will produce more of a reaction in patients that have had COVID before than maybe the AstraZeneca?
I think it'll produce a different reaction, and that's the beauty of us having a number of different vaccine models around, because they'll all give us slightly different responses, not necessarily better or worse, just different. And that's to be welcomed, because what we need to do is make sure, especially with these new variants emerging, which was always going to happen and is a natural reaction, we need to make sure we've got as much of the immune repertoire covered as possible. So whether or not our bodies are being instructed to produce part of this protein from the spike protein, which is what the technologies with the Pfizer vaccine are. They don't alter your genetic material at all. There's been some stories about that which are completely untrue. They don't alter that at all. In fact, they can't do that. What they do is your body expresses these proteins to the immune system. So it shows that it produces the proteins and shows them to the immune system, and the immune system responds because it recognizes that these proteins are not from you. So it's actually very clever technology, and shows how clever our immune system is, that it can recognize material that's not made from material that we would be made of, as it were. So it responds to that. The Pfizer vaccine, the AstraZeneca vaccine, has DNA in it as opposed to RNA. So it's a DNA sequence of the protein. So it's a similar situation, but expressed in a different way, which means our immune response will be ever so slightly different. And again, as I said earlier, not better or worse, just different. And we will see a slightly different level of type of immunity, not level, but type of immunity going forward. And that's all to the good. This mix in the population is a really good idea. And I suspect as other vaccines come online, we will see a similar sort of slight change. But these are, especially the AstraZeneca vaccine, is a vaccine that's been utilized before for different organisms, Zika and Ebola, and it's the same technology. They've just changed the sequence being carried. The same thing with the mRNA vaccine. They have a sequence there that is known, and the mRNA is known. We can alter that sequence now to take into account the new variants or another organism, should we need to. So these are very clever technologies that are adaptable, usable, have been widely tested and are safe.
That's interesting. You've just gone on to my next question, because the new variant seems to enter the body through a different portal. The original virus seemed to attack, the spike protein seemed to attack to our ACE inhibitors and get in that way. And the new variant, do you think it's running more? It's reported that it's obviously could be running more in children because their ACE receptors aren't as mature as adult ones, and the new variant is now entering the body via a different receptor mechanism.
I'm not entirely sure it's entering by a different receptor mechanism completely. It's doing it more effectively. So what the virus is able to do, which is why they can measure the fact that the new variant is 70% more transmittable, is because it has a greater capability of binding to your receptors. So what happens when a mutation occurs, and mutations are entirely natural, they happen all the time, and they happen as a result of, in this case, the virus making a mistake. And that mistake is prompted by the virus replicating, as we call it, under pressure. In this case, it's being under pressure from our immune system. Our immune system is attacking it as it's trying to replicate. It makes a very uncomfortable environment. As the organism replicates, it makes mistakes. Some of those mistakes we never know about, because they either mean that the organism, the virus in this case, doesn't actually emerge, or they do no damage to the virus at all and the virus just carries on regardless. Or alternatively, as we're seeing now, they offer some sort of an advantage, and that's what the virus has got with this particular set of mutations, that means that they can now transmit more readily, so they can bind to the cell more effectively and replicate more easily. And that's what we're seeing happening. So the evidence, I think, is at the moment very unclear about whether the virus is transmitting more in children. Bearing in mind, we are actually seeing the virus moving through the population generally at an increased rate. So it could well be that what we're just seeing is more cases because the virus is more effective at transmitting, not necessarily because it's affecting one part of the population any more than any other. So that's a difficult one to unpick at the moment, but we are definitely seeing that this virus is more capable of moving, more capable of transmitting, which is why undertaking the hands, face, space message is absolutely critical. Social distancing is more important now than it's ever been. Just because the vaccines are being rolled out, they are not yet in the situation where our patients have got full immunity. So we cannot relax our guard at the moment. Whether you've been vaccinated or whether you haven't, whether you've had the virus or whether you haven't, we need to make sure that we still keep social distancing to make sure that we limit the spread of the virus going forward.
And I'll leave you with one last question, which is, if we've had the vaccination, if a person's had the vaccination, do we know whether they can still transmit it? Is this still up in the air or not? Is this something we're just going to have to find out? Can they still transmit the virus even though they've had the vaccination? Obviously, their immune system's been primed, so they're not so poorly, hopefully not going to have to go in hospital, but they're still capable of transmitting it.
Right. The short answer is we don't know yet. That will come out in time. What we do know, and what the clinical trials have shown us very clearly, is that patients who have the vaccine do not end up developing severe disease. Now, that tells us one thing. That tells us that the immune response that's developed in the patients is protective against them getting severe disease. We don't yet know whether it means that it can't transmit. That we'll have to wait and see. And that's one of the reasons why people are still saying that we still must maintain the hands, face, space. But it will allow us, as more people get vaccinated, to relax the slowly start to relax the lockdown rules and the restrictions that we've got, so to get we hopefully can get to back to some sort of semblance of normality. But in time we will tell. I'm optimistic that it will, but I've got to be honest, I don't have proof of that. I just think on the balance of probability it's likely that we'll be protected, but we'll have to wait and see for the definitive answer.
Do you think we might not transmit as much because obviously if we're vaccinated we won't have such a large viral load in our bodies, and it's a viral load, the amount of viral load that you have that makes you transmit it more?
That is potentially the situation. So if you're not expressing full-blown disease, you won't be coughing so much, and therefore you won't be coughing out the virus. And one of the things that has been suggested about the new variants is that another aspect why it's more transmissible is that more virus is actually emitted from you as you cough and your coughs and sneezes and what have you. So it could well be that by the fact that we are limiting the disease progression, we are limiting the overall capability of the virus to have an increased viral load in the patients and therefore spread the disease further. So that is a distinct possibility.
Thank you. That's really, really helpful. I haven't bombarded with too many questions, but yeah,
no,
that's it's good to hear that. And hopefully we'll put a story out to sort of really reassure our listeners, because people are getting vaccinated and they're thinking, well, wow, I can go out and do everything now. We actually got to really send the messages that even if you've been vaccinated, you really have to almost still act as if you could transmit the virus. Would that
be
correct?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's interesting. I was interviewed by another radio station this morning who were going down a very similar line, and they were also, much to my relief, also taking on the myths and the misinformation that's out there and dispelling that as well, because that's another problem we've got, is there's so many myths and disinformation out there that people are not taking the vaccine or not doing what they do because they believe it's either not a problem or the vaccines are potentially a problem, which of course they're not. So it's getting that disinformation halted in its tracks, along with a good message about what we should be doing, is massively important. So I commend you.
Thank you very much indeed.